multi-talented and award-winning producer, songwriter, singer, and instrumentalist. With the stories behind the music.
This is no training exercise.
This is How's It Done with Brian House.
Hey guys, Brian House here for How's It Done with my good friend Kent. How's it going, buddy? Been a while.
I've been following you, living vicariously through these trips all over the world, man.
Yeah, man, it's been crazy. It was an awesome summer. Kind of a business family trip to Europe for a while. Spent a couple weeks in England doing meetings with labels and bands and stuff over there, and then down to Paris for a while. I got to be honest, I didn't love Paris. You hear about the food, and the food was terrible for me personally. I thought it was terrible. And I tried a bunch of different restaurants, and There were so many people hustling touristy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But London, I could live there. I absolutely could live in London. I love the vibe, the food, The people. I love how everybody has pints in the afternoon, and it's just a great culture there. I love it.
The first time you were in London, or you've been there before?
I've been there a few times, okay. But we spent quite a bit of time and just hanging out, and I have a lot of friends there now, so you kind of get the off the beaten track kind of tourist stuff, which is really cool.
Okay, that's neat.
So it was a great trip, but just getting all ready. I'm going to be doing the next Airborne record, and the boys are going to be coming here, which is amazing, so I'll definitely bring them in, and we got to keep them entertained. We're going to keep the pubs around here busy and the old strip bar up in Campbell busy.
Oh, JJ. Shout out to JJ's. That's great. In the vein of How's It Done, how do you get to places like Paris and London? Is that all part of the contract process when you're first signing up to work with a band?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, you want to meet to catch a vibe, or labels want you to come over. And then also my family, we had some time off where the kids weren't so busy with sports.
Okay.
So we thought, let's combine it into one family trip / and, of course, I didn't work too much. Didn't want to get the wifey mad. But kind of you got to balance that whole thing out. So, that's kind of I tried to kill two birds kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you get excited when you find out, okay, I'm working on this album. I've talked to the manager now and the band. They want me to go to London or Paris. Does that still get you excited?
Dude, I love this business. I get excited. I'm trying to be jaded, but I can't be. The fact that I get to get up every morning, play my guitar and write songs for a living, it still baffles me. I still don't believe it, that I get paid to do this.
I think in another cast, we've talked about this, and it's a quote that sticks with me all the time because I've heard it before, but when you said it when we first met, and that was, it's not hard to be a good person, just be a good person.
100%.
The statement you just made rings true. I mean, you've worked with the best of the best.
Yep.
You've probably worked with some harsh attitudes too in the business as well.
You're listening to How's It Done? Crank It Up with Kent Shoemaker and Brian House.
Well, I was just talking about, we were talking about Taylor Swift and Swifties, and I got to work with her and had a big song with her a few years ago, and I have nothing bad to say. She's amazing, amazing human being, very intelligent, so talented, one of the best songwriters I've ever worked with in my life, and she was raised right. She's a great person and a good a good role model for young girls.
I was just in a meeting before you came in, and we were talking about Taylor Swift. One of our hosts did a break on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, how it's they're following each other around right now. It just so happened to be the first time was at Arrowhead Stadium. Well, Arrowhead and Seattle Stadium are the two that rival each other for the loudest stadiums in North America.
I didn't know that.
There are more false start penalties in Kansas City at Arrowhead and Seattle. They're neck and neck. They have volume meters.
That is interesting.
So now I'm thinking, because of Travis Kelce's dating life, Arrowhead's probably going to edge over Seattle now a little bit, right?
Did you see how many young girls are interested in the NFL now? Like, they must be loving this.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
She has so much power. Like, the Swifties are like a little army.
Yeah. We have so much to get caught up on. I know you have a little bit of time. So we have two episodes that I really want to get going with you. And one I guess we can touch on now is we'll call it the studio episode.
Sure.
This one, you worked at some of the finest studios on the planet.
Yes, been very lucky to have worked at some of the greatest places, like RCA Studios in Nashville, which is famous, Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson, and just iconic. And it's kind of, you go in there and it's like it's stuck in the 60s. It's so cool, the vibe. Elvis has even been in there. My friend Dave Cobb, he owns it now. He produced, Chris Stapleton and stuff like that. He did the Elvis soundtrack. And so when he's not in town, he lets me use it. And it's amazing, amazing studio.
Oh, man. Like, lets you use it. It's like, Brian's in town. Here, you got Studio B, C, whatever.
Basically, yeah. He lets me, I obviously give him some dough for it. But he takes good care of me. Dave's a great guy.
The other one I saw, I think it was this summer, Sunset Strip?
Sunset Sound.
Sunset Sound.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep, in L.A. So that's iconic because Van Halen 1 was done there. Prince Purple Rain was done there. It's amazing. And I was just in there with Air Supply. And then next door was Billy Idol doing a record. And so him and Steve Stevens came over and hung out with us for a while. And, you know, when I was a kid, I was a big Billy Idol fan. And, of course, yeah. Steve Stevens was an amazing, innovative guitar player.
Yeah.
Very, very cool, unique shredder.
Billy Idol was here not so long ago. He played the Peony. I think it was August.
Yeah.
August.
And he looks great. He sounds great. And everybody loves Billy Idol.
So I remember being at your place, Blackstone Studios, the first time I saw the Billy Idol book. I'm like, are people still into Billy Idol? I think I said that too.
Yep.
Ever since that happened, I pulled out the 2012 remaster. Remember they remastered all of his stuff?
Yep.
My God, does it sound so good now?
I know. Well, that's the thing.
I want to replace the stuff we're playing on the air here with the remastered stuff because the bass. Yep. His bass, both the guitar and the drums, were phenomenal.
Well, that's the thing too, right? With records, mastering was difficult because you had to shave all the bottom end off because on records the needle would jump out of the slots if there was too much bass. So the mastering engineer would shave off the bottom end so it wouldn't jump out. So when CDs came, you could have all that bottom end back. So getting it remastered, it's how it sounded in the studio.
This is why we call it How's It Done.
You're listening to How's It Done. Crank it up with Kent Shoemaker and Brian House.
I guess the question, obvious question would be your favorite studio to work in.
Whoa, I would say the Armory Studios in Vancouver. So that's Bruce Fairbairn's studio built by Ron Obvious, who built my studio here. I love it because the history and I, you know, I had my big hits in there with like Hinder and Nickelback and all that kind of stuff. Just the vibe there. I love it. He basically modeled it after a French chateau and imported all the wood from France and stuff. And it's just a beautiful, amazing studio in Kitsilano. And the vibe in there is just so amazing. And I probably my favorite because it's my first big hit was done in that place. So it's kind of special to me.
Very neat.
But, you know, Sunset Sound's awesome too. I know, you know, I've been in there so many times and it's so cool because there's three big studios. So it's like, we got, you know, Billy Idol's in one room and then, you know, whoever's in the other room, Kings of Leon are in the other room or whatever. So and then you hang out in the foyer and shoot basketballs and they have a basketball court there. And
wow.
And I remember, so when my band DDT was doing their record there with Matt Wallace, we had Mark McGrath and the boys
Sugar
were
Ray.
In the other room. Yep, Sugar Ray. And so I introduced him to ball hockey. And we put Mark in net. I'll never forget this between takes. And then I took a slap shot and hit him right in the freaking nuts.
Nice.
And keeled him over. And he couldn't sing for the rest of the day. And the producer was so mad at me. David Kahan was so pissed at me. He's no more ball hockey.
I'm not gonna fly.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Great, but we have two questions here for you before we let you go.
Sure.
The next cast we have to do parties.
Absolutely.
The legendary parties.
Oh God.
Bev's question, man, is how's your summer been?
Summer was amazing. Lots of traveling with the family, working with amazing people. You know, the weather was so nice here. Wish I had more time to go camping and fishing. I still haven't taken my kids fishing, and we've lived here for 5 years now.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And my little guy's like, I want to go fishing. I'm like, yes, buddy, we'll get that arranged. So anyone out there, we'd love to go fishing. I got to take my little guy. He's dying to go. So next year for sure. But had a blast, man. It's been awesome and looking forward to a cool winter.
it's been a blast working with you, too. I mean, we didn't even touch on your show that you did at Native Sons Hall, which was outstanding.
Oh, man, that
was so much fun.
It was like over 300 people, and everyone just had so much fun. That was the key, you know?
You were in the zone, too. You were in the moment. Like, this guy had a guitar. It was somehow broken. He's like, screw that. He walked out in the crowd. He was jumping around in the crowd. It was so cool to see that.
Yeah.
The next question is, you've had this one before, too. This one is from Fred. And he wants to know the toughest person you've worked around or worked with.
The toughest person, even though he's a great human being, was probably Wes Scanlon because of all his issues with he had a lot of mental issues. He's a great human being, but it's just trying to keep him sober in the studio was crazy. And I know when I was in Vancouver working with him, I had to hire a person just to babysit him to make sure he wouldn't go and be smoking crack outside with the. With the folks out there, but it was rough, man. Just trying to keep him in line, and just, you know, half my job is being a shrink, But with him was like shrink drug counselor. Like it was crazy. Like I think he had a pretty rough upbringing. Really good heart, but it was hard to try and get this, you know, and you're working for the record company, but you're also caring about this person too.
Right.
So trying to blend that those two worlds together. But we did it, and but I still think he needs a lot of help. He's a good person, but yeah, gotcha. It was a mess. It was a mess.
And Fred, by the way, you can go to Brian's channel, How's It Done, over on the podcast page at MichaelMoxValleyNow.com. I believe it's episode 3. You actually talked about that in depth. We talked about the studio and everything else. So, Brian, I know you're busy. Thank you so much, man. And next episode, parties.
Sounds good, buddy. Let's do it.
How's It Done? A podcast for music fans with the stories behind the music. Find it wherever you download your favorite podcasts.